presented by the American Bankers Association.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Tuesday, March 19th. Speaker Mike Johnson in the White House notched a deal last night on DHS funding. That puts the last 2024 appropriations bills on a glide path to passage. More on that in Playbook. But we want to turn instead this morning to the next big funding fight on the Hill. That's the fight over Ukraine aid. Republicans have obviously been twisting themselves into knots over this issue. You've got defense hawks who view fortifications for Kyiv as essential to standing against Vladimir Putin, but their base continues to reject the notion of sending any money abroad, especially when the U.S. border is still in shambles and we've got $34 trillion in debt. But behind the scenes, Republicans are trying to straddle these competing pressures and are starting to coalesce around an idea. Yesterday, Senator Lindsey Graham sort of hinted at this by tweeting that he raised the prospect of giving Ukraine a no-interest waivable loan. He did that in a direct meeting with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. Obviously, Trump, you'll recall, has recently championed changing all foreign aid into loans. But I can report this morning that Graham isn't the only one considering this as a solution. In fact, in the House, we hear some of Ukraine's biggest GOP defenders are not only buying into this idea, they've even shopped it up the chain to Speaker Mike Johnson. Johnson told them to put something together, shop it around to their GOP colleagues, and then if the conference approves, perhaps they'll pursue it and vote on it. The GOP thinking goes something like this. The administration has asked for $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, but most of that money, $48 billion in fact, would actually go toward resupplying America's own industrial base. Many of those weapons, of course, would eventually be shipped to Ukraine, but technically the money goes toward American jobs and to rebuilding America's own arsenal. The rest of that money, about $12 billion, does go directly to Ukraine, and Republicans are now thinking, why not make this a low or no interest loan of some sort to appease Trump and the GOP base and finally send Ukraine the help they desperately need? Of course, this is all extremely tenuous. We're told some Republicans are reaching out to Trump world to see if the former president will either approve this idea or at least not kill it flat out. And there are other ideas in the works as well. But I did call a pretty damn senior Democratic source last night to ask about this, and what I heard was interesting. Democrats, this person said, want to find a solution for Ukraine, and they're willing to talk to Republicans about this idea if it means moving the ball forward. As for the story of the day, it's primary day in Ohio, Illinois, and several other states around the country, but with President Joe Biden and Donald Trump already the party's presumptive nominees, we're going to be watching some down-ballot races that could have an impact on who controls Congress. And joining me now to discuss that is our senior campaign and elections editor, Steve Shepard. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Rachel.
So let's start with this messy Senate primary in Ohio. There are three Republicans duking it out to take on Sherrod Brown. And there's been a bit of last-minute drama after the AP reported last week that one of those candidates, or apparently his work email, was used to create an adult website account that sought, quote, young guys to have fun with. How is this going to be impacting the primary race in Ohio, Steve?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And I think sort of the million-dollar question that everyone's wondering about, what impact, if any, will this have on Bernie Moreno's chances? He has Donald Trump's endorsement typically in these big Republican primaries, especially these multi-candidate primaries, just like we saw in Ohio 2 years ago. That's a winning ticket. That's what Bernie Moreno's camp has been counting on. It's why former President Donald Trump was there this past weekend to campaign for him. He does not seem, though, to have the late momentum in this race. That seems to belong to Matt Dolan, a self-funder state senator. He poured $10 million into the last race in 2022. He is pouring again more than $10 million into this race, and it seemed to have been paying dividends.
How nice to have $10 million to just throw out your own campaign. What else are you watching in Ohio, Steve?
Well, there's a handful of House primaries that I think are going to be really interesting down the ballot, too. Just like the race against Sherrod Brown is one of the most important races for control of the Senate. There's an important congressional race for control of the chamber, a couple. But I'm watching particularly the primary in Ohio's 9th district. That is Democratic Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur. Her district was redrawn between the 2020 and 2022 elections to be a lot more Republican. But Republicans kind of nominated the wrong candidate last cycle. Jared Majewski, who ended up, he had some ties to January 6th, some alleged inconsistencies in his military record and what he'd said about it. And he lost that race handily to Marcy Kaptur. Republicans want another shot. Republicans including Donald Trump, Congressional Leadership Fund, the super PAC with close ties to House Speaker Mike Johnson, are behind Derek Merrin in that race. So will he come out, you know, with the victory and set up what would be a really good race against Capter? Then there's a couple of open seats in Ohio as well. There's a lot of Republican retirements. They're going to be filled by new members and new members who are going to step into what has been a very tumultuous House Republican conference this year. I don't need to tell you that, Rachel. And you know, what kind of members are they going to be? Are they going to be more institutionalist and play ball with Johnson and House leadership? Are they going to be rabble-rousers, House Freedom Caucus types? There's a lot of open seats across the map in addition to these two in Ohio. And we're watching to see what kinds of Republicans, because these are safe Republican seats. These are going to be Republican seats in November. So it's all about the primary.
Really interesting. And it sounds like over in Illinois, we have two sitting members of Congress who are trying to hold on to their seats. We could start with Danny Davis or Mike Bost. Let's talk about both of those, which I guess we'll start with Danny Davis since this is the Dem side of things. 82-year-old incumbent facing this sort of push to step aside. How likely is he to hold on?
Yeah, where have you heard that before? An incumbent in his early 80s who's seen a little bit is maybe not able to handle the job.
It's the theme of the cycle, Steve, the theme of the cycle.
He's faced a couple of tough races, a couple of at least contested primaries in recent cycles, and he has won again. Now, he does have two opponents on the ballot, and that may actually sort of accrue to his benefit if the anti-Davis vote is split. We'll have to see. Illinois doesn't have any kind of runoff threshold, so all you have to do is get the most votes, and you win the nomination. So he could win with less than 50% of the vote. It will be interesting to see. This is Chicago and some of its suburbs, what exactly Democratic primary voters are looking for, because in the presidential race, there hasn't exactly been a huge groundswell of opposition to Joe Biden's renomination, the president, and we'll see if that kind of continues down the ballot. Now, you mentioned Mike Bost. He's facing the 2022 gubernatorial nominee in Illinois, Darren Bailey. This is Southern Illinois, other end of the state, very different than sort of Chicagoland. This is a look to be a competitive primary, but Mike Bost, even though he's a little bit less conservative, he certainly has closer ties to House Republican leadership. He has Donald Trump's endorsement in this race. That has short-circuited a little bit for Bailey, who was counting on the most conservative part of the electorate, the biggest Trump fans, to come out and propel him to ousting Mike Bost. We'll see if those voters sort of take their cues and vote for the more conservative candidate, or they vote for the candidate that Donald Trump's supporting. Because they're not the same person in this race.
What else around the country? If there's one other thing that you would mention, what would you say we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, you mentioned at the beginning that the presidential race is kind of sleepy, that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump have clinched their nominations. But, you know, there are still these primaries and there are still other candidates on the ballot, including in Florida, where zombie Ron DeSantis's name is on the ballot. And then in Arizona, you know, a key swing state, definitely moving toward Democrats, we're going to get a look at, you know, what Democratic and Republican voters think in Arizona about their options. Arizona does not have an uncommitted option like some of the states where there's been a protest vote against Biden. However, those organizers are pushing people to vote for Marianne Williamson. So does she break, you know, 15, 20% of the vote, where you look at a key swing state and say there's an element of the Democratic base not comfortable with Joe Biden? Similarly, we'll look at Donald Trump there, because we know from Democrats' gains have come largely from voters who are registered Republicans in Arizona. Registered Republicans outnumber Democrats by a pretty significant margin in Arizona.
Well, hey, thanks for taking the time and have fun today, Steve.
Thank you. You too.
And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and the House are in today and for a few more days before they break for their Easter recess. And President Biden will be traveling to Reno, Nevada. He will be participating in a campaign event before delivering remarks on lowering costs for working families at a campaign rally. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
I'm Rob Nichols, President and CEO of the American Bankers Association. America's banks believe that everyone should be able to enjoy the safety, convenience, and other benefits that come with a bank account. That's why banks of all sizes in the Washington area and across the country now offer low-cost and easy-to-use bank-on certified accounts. To learn more about our goal to get everyone banked and to see if a bank-on account might be right for you, visit aba.com/getbanked.